It's the only way forward. When I started this battle 15 years ago, I only heard my own voice coming back at me. No one listened. And there are others who pioneered this. Will Thomas, an excellent book. I know Will very well.
Okay. That's enough of that. That's enough of you, Dane. I have to admit that I have become interested or intrigued in with respect to the Dane Wigington podcast. I'm also drinking coffee right now, so if you're wondering what I'm doing, if I take a pause and you hear some noise that sounds like slurping and you want to judge me, if you want to be all judgmental, I don't care. I'm doing the best I can. There is a 50-50 chance that I will not be homeless. And I gotta say, those are truly optimistic odds that I will avoid homelessness this year. There is now a 50-50 chance. And I think that's really great fucking news. And what else? I had an interview yesterday and it went pretty well. I don't know. The thing about the Dane Wigington stuff is that I think he's a sincere guy. I went on his website, geoengineeringwatch.org, and, you know, it all seemed pretty legit. I didn't see anything that just jumped out at me. This is bogus. This is crap. I do think he pushes the kind of the collectivist collectivist status position that we'll have to, you know, change our minds and become aware and work together through government. And it's like much of what I just said, I could say, okay. It's the government part that I don't really like. I think the reason why we're in this mess is because of government. So the idea that more government will fix this, it sounds insane to me. It just absolutely sounds insane to me. But there's a lot of craziness out there. It's like today I was walking, and like every day I go walking around here, I see homeless people. You just do. Sometimes they do behave in crazy ways. Although 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 times out of 100, it's just crazy behavior. It doesn't threaten you. I would say probably almost always. So whether it's somebody screaming or talking to themselves or talking to their, you know, their ghost friend, everyone should have a ghost friend. And I was thinking about the homeless problem, and here's the thing. A lot of people got convinced, I think, 20, 30 years ago, that they could trade their middle-class American lifestyle for house flipping, or rather, simply treating their home as an equity generation device. And this was, you know, this was public policy. This was the government too. The government, you know, created lending institutions like Fannie and Freddie. The government backstopped the mortgage lending market. The government had your back. And the Federal Reserve, this is very much the Fed. The Federal Reserve had your back. It was like, it was all engineered. And so if you think of it from the perspective of how the system was working, not free enterprise, it's arguable that I was born into a country that was already well on its way away from free enterprise. So I'm not talking about capitalism. I'm talking about crony capitalism. I'm talking about rackets. But for a few decades, everyone's been like, your house can be your way to become rich. And it's only gotten worse and worse. It hasn't gotten better. Now, from the perspective of the people making money, it's only gotten better and better. That's the truth. It's been a very lucrative period of time. A lot of people would have said, well, it's kind of like the situation where you try to apply your moral beliefs to problems in game theory or economics, and you've got to be careful because what you want to happen and what is going to happen are almost never the same thing, and especially in a fallen world. I mean, if you're religious like I am, you have to admit to yourself what you would like to happen and what actually does happen are almost never the same thing. I don't really blame a lot of people for this either. It's like, if I had a family, if I had kids, and one of my means of survival was to take advantage of the shelter scheme, the housing investment, free money, Federal Reserve scheme, I would have done it too, probably. I was probably ready to do it. You know, it is a question of being in a vice. A lot of people in what's left of, if you want to call it the middle class, a lot of people are in a vice. And if they fight back, the vice only tightens. And if they're parents and they have kids, they're already in a tough situation. So yeah, I get it. But I was walking today and I was thinking about the homeless problem. And the way that a lot of people in the Seattle housing market investment scheme think about homeless people. And it made me think about cancer. It's like, you know, people could say, okay, cancer is terrible. I've lost a couple people very close to me. A few people very close to me to cancer. So it's pretty terrible. And we all know that. But if some person came along and said to you, cancer is terrible, it's so terrible, I hate cancer, let's go to, you know, the University of Washington Medical Center and beat up some stage 4 cancer patients, you would hopefully recognize this person was fucking crazy. Yes, we can all agree cancer is terrible. It is fucking horrible. But who would suggest as a strategy that we all go to the hospital, to the floor where there's a lot of cancer patients, and beat them up? This is essentially the Seattle attitude towards homeless people. It's like they realize there's something wrong with the economy. They sense that. There is this tingle in their head. I mean, I have to believe. Maybe it was because it was sunny today. Maybe it's because I scraped together enough bucks to buy a little bud. Maybe that's the optimism where that's coming from. But I have to believe there are some people in Seattle that get it. They must sort of get it. But yet, you'll listen to these conversations and they'll say, well, I hope, you know, Seattle Department of Transportation puts up more of those concrete spikes under the overpass, you know, puts up more of those little bike parking spots that nobody ever parks bikes at. You know, make sure that you put up the construction, fencing with the basically putting in equipment there so people can't have shelter. And again, I have to say to all you folks out there who want to say, well, homeless people want to be there and they just want to do drugs and be crazy and be lazy, please, by all means, get a software engineering job at Microsoft or Amazon or Google. You know that whole learn to code thing? Learn to code and get a job and go to one of those floors. Okay? Go to fucking Google and go to one of those floors. Go to Microsoft and sit there and write code and listen to the fucking conversations and see the fucking reality. Amazon, go to Costco, go to Boeing, go to Alaska Airlines. And I promise you, you will find people who are drug addicts. You will find people who are crazy. And yeah, you'll find a lot of lazy motherfuckers. So I'm so sick and tired of that bullshit. And the fact is, a lot of people in the streets are working jobs. I hate to break it to you. So sorry your fucking reality doesn't quite work out. Yeah, to me, the whole way in which, not just here in Seattle, but all around the country, it's like we think the homeless people are causing the problem in our community. No, dude, your community is creating the homeless problem. You fucking moron. But you as an idiot will probably want to, because you hate cancer so much. And listen, we do. I hate homelessness. I would like to help solve it. I think there's ways of fixing it. I don't hate homeless people. I hate homelessness. There's a big difference. Like if I could help figure out a way to solve it, if I ever do get back on my feet, I would like to get involved in helping with this issue. This is one of those things where I could get passionate about it. But I don't hate the people who are homeless. There's a big, big, big fucking difference. And I also recognize that the homeless people didn't cause the homelessness. They really didn't. And also, frankly, as far as like the lazy, crazy drug addict thing goes, I would say at least half the people in the streets are working some type of a job and they're not always using drugs or being crazy or being lazy. They're just trying to fucking survive. And yet, I run into that sensibility. And it's here, and it's in Indianapolis, and it's in Dayton, Ohio, and it's in Nashville, Tennessee, El Paso, Texas, Los Angeles, New York City, Chicago. You go any fucking place in this country. Houston, Texas, Austin, Texas, Kansas. I don't care. And the basic philosophy regarding homeless people is not that different than the basic thought experiment I gave you. Imagine people saying, we hate cancer. Cancer is terrible. Cancer killed the people we love. So let's go down to the hospital and beat up a bunch of cancer patients. I just wonder sometimes, and I gotta say, it's one of the, you know, I am a religious person. I try not to make all my podcasts too religious-y. I know that this is a difficult issue for me as a Christian. I have to say that we are called to evangelize as Christians. So if I say, well, I'm not going to sell religion, it's almost like saying, well, for a few minutes, I'm not going to be a Christian. So yeah, I try not to sell God, but I got to tell you, the stuff I see out there, the behaviors I see on the part of my fellow human being shock me enough these days that it does reinforce my faith, but not in the positive, happy way. It's a tough one. Anyways, the main topic for this podcast was not that rant about beating up cancer patients, but I gotta say, that's the rationale towards homelessness right now. We hate cancer so much, we gotta go beat up people dying of it. And we hate homelessness so much that we gotta beat up homeless people. I just wish we could figure out a better solution than that. And here's the thing, I don't want to tax people, okay? If you listen to my podcast, I'm not a fucking Marxist. It's the Marxist communist statist bullshit that got us here. It's the let's inject massive capital into the market. Let's play games in the marketplace that got us to this fucking end of the road. If we simply allow the economy to live without any government involvement, the world would be a very different place today. In my opinion, it would be a far better place. But that's not what fucking happened. We all fed the crocodile, you know, we all were told the crocodile keeps the streets safe and the crocodile makes sure that the cops show up and the crocodile makes sure the water's delivered. And who would build the roads if it weren't for the magical fucking crocodile? And we fed it, we kept feeding it. Even I rationalize it. I say to myself, if I can work, if I can do a job, I'll toss the red meat. I mean, what can I do? They're taking it out of my check already. I can't stop them from doing this. So you toss the red meat their direction. You know, the crocodile wants a little bit, so you give it a little bit of your flesh and blood and tears and sweat. That's the way it works. So I am not a communist. I am not standing on this issue because I'm some kind of weird-ass political asshole who wants to tax you. It's more like there's a way we can help with this problem. We just have to break out of the government paradigm. And whole nother topic for another day, breaking out of the government paradigm. That one, you could argue that the government is one of the most successful cults in human history. It's like, it is in fact the Baal cult. It is in fact what, you know, first book of Samuel, chapter 8 is all about. It's like, you know, the Israelites say, you know, God, you know, we really want a king. All these other countries have kings and they seem so shiny. Can we have a shiny king? And that's the thing. It's like God is shaking his head and probably thinking to himself, you know that I'm your Lord. It's like, well, we want a Lord down here, God. You know, a shiny one that can sit on a shiny throne and make shiny decisions. You see, here's the thing. I joke about Israelites looking for Baal every 15 minutes, but they really are. And this isn't just about Israelites. This is about all humans. You know, we have such a love for false idols. Such a love for false idols. Anyways, the core topic for tonight, I was thinking about some weird topics that might be more funny than serious. And I think I already ratcheted up the serious level with that whole rant about homelessness and beating up people with cancer. It's just, I don't know. So there are vegetarians, and right, and like vegetarians, as I understand it, whether they might be egg vegetarians or non-egg, but there are people that can, you know, will eat vegetables, but they're also okay with dairy, I think. There are, you know, vegetarians who are okay with some dairy, and then there are those who say also throw in an egg. And I think those exist. So like cheese and eggs and dairy vegetarians. I think those exist. And then there are vegans, of course. And a vegan, I think, is strictly only vegetables. Like anything that is a, we would classify, even though technically it might be a fruit. Like a tomato is technically a fruit. But anything that's a plant, that's the key. Vegans only eat plants. And I think maybe fungus as well. You know, they'll eat like a mushroom and shit. But they eat the things that grow like mushrooms, fungus, plants, and nothing that wouldn't fit into that category. That's a vegan, I think. I think that's a fair description. And believe it or not, I'm getting to a point here. And then I've discovered this new class of people. And you could say they're like vegetarians who allow eggs and dairy, but they do take it to the next level. They make a kind of moral judgment call. And one I gotta say, because I've had a little bit of food insecurity, and I'm not complaining, just because a person has been white man poor recently doesn't mean they've been at the bottom of the pit of poor. There are so many levels of poverty in this world. I have been poor by white people middle class definitions recently, but I haven't really been like South African poor or Tijuana, Mexico poor, is my point. There are levels, and I haven't gone all the way down to the deep pit, yeah. But I've been a little food insecure, so I'm actually sympathetic to this new classification of what I would call vegetarians plus, which, you know, not just dairy, but maybe plus plus. Vegetarians plus plus, and these are the ones who are like okay with dairy, okay with eggs, and also okay with eating chicken. And I gotta say, here's why, because I think there are people, and I met them, they're all over the place now, especially in kind of like the low level, low fever prepper crowd, the people that, you know, hide away a few pallets of bottled water, or maybe they do have a way to filter rainwater, or maybe they have the basics to do camping for a few months if they have to, maybe a few weeks. But the point is, these low-level preppers, and in the cities, they're starting to like raise chickens. And they'll say like, well, we don't eat any beef and we don't eat fish, but we eat chickens and we eat our vegetables and we eat dairy. And the thing I think about the chickens is I think it's a judgment call. Like, okay, I have people I know that are vegan, and it's like they make these very compelling arguments. And I also think the way we raise meat these days, I'd almost rather raise my own chicken and feed them healthy food than assume that whatever chicken I got from, I don't know, Tyson chicken. Yeah, Tyson chicken. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. But I think there's a new classification, vegetarian plus plus. Vegetarians who are okay with dairy and eggs, milk, all the dairy stuff, plus eggs, plus chicken. Because you know what? It's good and tasty to have chicken strips. And here's the thing. Why can't you say that maybe the chickens are kind of stupid and kind of mean? Okay, you can say to me, Dan, or do you have a right to judge the chicken? Well, I don't know, maybe not. But I think there's a big difference between a chicken and an African gray parrot. I mean, I don't know. I think an African gray parrot, if you fed it chicken, would probably eat it. Okay, I'm sorry. And the thing is, it would probably find the chicken strips tasty and then would be deeply upset that you didn't serve it more chicken strips. Now, maybe that's not healthy to feed chicken strips to an African gray parrot, but I think they would. But I certainly think that if you said, you know, African gray, should we eat you or the fucking chicken out there that's pecking crap off the ground and acts like an asshole and pecks away at people? I don't know. I mean, I'm making judgment calls about chickens. I guess I want to call them chickentarian. You know, like instead of vegetarian, chickentarian. The chickentarians or the vegetarians plus plus, but let's call them the chickentarians. The chickentarians are just perfectly okay with judging the chicken worth eating. And I think if you feed it the right stuff, you can get around the toxicity issues. I mean, everything is toxic now. It's kind of like, I don't know. There used to be this show on Adult Swim on the Comedy Channel or Comedy Network, I'm sorry. And I think it was called Tim and Eric's Awesome Show. And on Tim and Eric's Awesome Show, there was this whole thing about, this little I don't want to call it a vignette, but this little musical thing, commercial, this public service announcement, which frankly inspired some of my public service announcements. That was basically all the food is poison. All the food is poison. All the food is poison. And it just went off like that over and over again. And I gotta say, it bothered my ex-wife to have to hear that, but it also was weird. And and I liked it. I thought it was funny, but it was like, yeah, this is probably true. And now I think maybe it is true. But yeah, what about the chickentarians? And they're out there. They're out there. They're around you. They're the ones raising chickens in your city. Out there in the back, they're the ones who wear Birkenstocks and drive that 20-year-old Volvo and raise two or three chickens in the backyard and have conversations about the coyote problem and how some of their cats come back scratched. It's kind of terrible, that Ted Nugent cat scratch fever. Yeah, the chickentarians, and they're real. They're real. They're out there. And I think they're okay. I'd rather hang out with a chickentarian, especially one that brews their own beer, than a vegan. Vegans are, I don't know, I got mixed feelings about vegans. I really do. I have a lot of complicated, confused feelings about vegans. I understand some of the vegan argument, but not very much of it. This basic context that we shouldn't eat meat because it's bad for us. Well, I think most of the meat is bad for us for a few reasons. One, because of how it's raised. And I think that applies to the corn as well, my dear vegan friend. It applies to everything you grow in the soil at this point, especially if toxins are falling out of the sky. But yeah, my vegan friend, wherever you're growing food out there in the wild, you're going to have some toxicity. Sorry about that. It's kind of like the fact of life. But yeah, I think the problem with the beef and the chicken, and I would add I'm a beef a chickentarian, that's basically where I'm at. Maybe pig. So yeah. I don't know if I should eat the pig any longer, the bacon. It's got to be pretty toxic. It's kind of like that show Deadwood, where it's like take him to Yang's or take him to Yao's, where they would dump bodies with the Chinese guy that fed people to the pigs. Pigs will eat anything. Humans will. Well, I don't know. Actually, if you're hungry enough, you're going to eat anything. And that gets me to also that, that's going to be the title of my cookbook coming out in 2020, Hungry Enough: How to Cook with Dan. It's going to be all the recipes for making glombus and scrim, for making glimuli, for making Trambus 7, all of the stomp and oblaterie and all the mixtures of creams and oils and greases and things you collect by the side of the toilet. All of it's going to be in that cookbook coming out in 2020, Hungry Enough. Because if you're hungry enough, and maybe this is a positive way to end this podcast, but if you're hungry enough, you will eat anything. I mean, you really will. You can call yourself a vegan, and you can stare at your little French bulldog and say, well, not only am I a vegan, but I've seen that what that French bulldog eats, and I would never eat the French bulldog. And listen, folks, I would have to be pretty hungry. Based upon being around French bulldogs, I would have to be pretty hungry to eat one, but I would. And the only thing, my only trepidation with respect to the French bulldog isn't the fact that it's a dog. It's the fact that I've seen them vomit and eat their vomit and poop and eat their poop over and over again, like they're their own private human centipede slash French dog centipede. It's just ridiculous. They're like Ouroboros. That's right. The French bulldog has an Ouroboros diet. The snake eating its tail, that is a French fucking bulldog. But even I would eat one of them if I was hungry enough. If you're out there, beans, you should hear me on this one. Yeah, you've already been marked for the harvest if your own people don't get to you first, which is more likely. They'll eat you, beans. But yeah, Hey, and here's an optimistic thing. I might be going sailing tomorrow. I got some sailing friends and they invited me sailing, and so I might go sailing tomorrow. And you know what? That's kind of cool too. So chickentarians unite, I say. And if you homebrew beer and you're a chickentarian, God bless you. And one thing before I go, if you're Indian or Chinese, you should know I'm not racist towards Indian or Chinese people. I just have issues around the H-1B visa program, okay? And frankly, if I sat down with someone, I think I could explain that. But there's just a lot of this pent-up frustration out there. I wish we could just sit down and talk. Don't you ever wish we could just pick up the phone and talk like we used to? Just talk on the phone and have that conversation. Don't you wish? Have a happy Saturday. I hope I said the date correctly. Like I said, I think it is March. I want to say it's March the 9th. Yep, 2019. Happy Saturday. Hoo-hoob.